Subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Garrett, Matt, and a special guest here today. We have one of my, I've coached this agent for, Tara Tooley's here with us. That's how we're going to start this. Tara, how long have we worked together?
Ooh, years. I don't know.
Been years.
4 years, not three years, maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, I'm going to find out. It's been, I was going to say, we're going 5 or 6 years back. So I am so excited to have Tara here with us today. There's a couple of reasons that Tara's on. One is that Tara is, she's a agent that takes every system I've ever worked with her on, and she goes, I'm going to make this mine, and she owns it. So we're going to talk about a system today that she has taken and she has owned, and she has made it just incredibly special and with amazing results. The second reason that we have Tara on today is I did a poll here just recently of a handful of people that listen to the podcast. And the number one thing that came out was we wish we had more ninjas that we could learn from on the podcast. So twofold here. I'm super excited to have Tara for one is to give people a taste of what other ninjas are doing out there, and as well as just to have her with us today. So Tara, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So specifically today, what we wanted to talk about and go down this path of is you have an incredible buyer process that brings people into your world. They get this unique experience that I have never heard anybody getting this experience of working with anybody ever. And not only that, it produces an extreme high result of that person finding their dream home and you setting them up in a position where they can buy it. We're correct here. This is what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited to go down this path with you, Tara, and hear about this. I've been hearing about your amazing process from Garrett for a while now. And I think what's so cool is for everybody who's listening, you're going to hear how Tara made this unique for herself. Doesn't mean, and this is what I think is going to be interesting, because it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be able to go exactly repeat what Tara does and get the same results. But I think what it's going to highlight is how you can take this 10-step buyer process and turn it into something that is really, really fun for you to do as well and fun for your clients. So Tara, I'm excited to go down this route with you.
Well, thanks. And one thing I want to share just right out of the chute is I consider myself a ninja 1000%. I put everything I do through what I call a ninja filter. And so some of the things I might talk about might not feel like the 10-step buyer process, but you're going to see, I'm hoping, the ninja process in everything we're going to talk about.
And I will back that up 100%. Nothing that we're going to talk about here is going to go like, oh, that doesn't really feel like ninja. Everything here is 100% ninja. So real quick, a little background. So Tara Tooley is from Fort Collins, Colorado. She works at the group in Fort Collins. And Tara, you've been with the group for how long?
I think I had my 6th year. I'm in my 7th year. So 7th year as a realtor. So
awesome. And for any of you that don't know Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're wondering, well, how does this market match up with my market? I feel like Fort Collins is like the most, it's a special, special, special place. I love going to Fort Collins and the whole environment of what that town has to offer. But I also think it's very normalized in like, there's nothing about it that you go like, oh, but that's so far off of my market. This doesn't pertain to me. You will find elements of Fort Collins market in any market we're going to talk about today. So everything we're going to share, as far as I'm concerned, would work anywhere in any marketplace. And Tara, I don't know if you'd back me up on that, but that's what I look at.
That's what it feels like to me. So yeah, I agree.
All right. So I'm excited to jump right into this. So let's get going here. So let's start right from the beginning. So obviously, buyer reaches out to you, whether it's a referral or whether it's somebody coming back to use you again or a brand new person that found you through something. How does this go just to kind of start the stage of when they reach out to you, let's just say by phone?
Well, when they call me, it's typically a call or a text, frequently a call. One thing I continually forget, I don't know how I can stop forgetting this, is that when they call me, they are ready to go. They have thought about this. It's taken them weeks, months, maybe years to get the guts enough to call me. Not that I'm scary to call, but just to make like their move. And I forget that a lot, but because of my process, it works great. So I have a quick interview with them on the phone, say, I'm going to have one today. And it's going to be, hey, Kayla, how's it going? She's like, well, we think we want a new house. I'm like, oh, really? You know, we have that quick little conversation. I'm like, well, what are you thinking? Tell me if you waved a magic wand, what might happen? You know, what kind of, how big of a house? Why are you moving? And I go through some of the questions. How many bedrooms? What price range are you thinking? What town are you thinking? And then we have that conversation. I always take notes. I never talk without a pen in my hand, so I don't trust myself to remember everything. And then she might say, well, we're looking at Fort Collins, and Fort Collins is a little more competitive market than the surrounding areas. And so I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, I wrap it up pretty quick and say, hey, I'm going to put you on a search and we're going to look at Fort Collins. And so she says, we're kind of thinking about 450, but we could go to 525. I'm like, okay, that's great. So I'm going to put you on a search we're going to have more than you're looking for, but I'd rather you see too much than miss something. So I'm not going to narrow it down to walkout basements, if that's one of her requests. So we're going to, and I said, you know, and Fort Collins, I know you want Fort Collins, but I just want you to see what's out there other than Fort Collins. We'll focus in on that, but you might see something you like in Windsor or Timnath or Johnstown. So I'll have a very broad net that I'm going to use. And then I know you said 525, but you know, this market, there's a lot of people that are a little too aggressive in their pricing. They think this market's crazy and they overprice their houses. And I'm going to have you're going to watch that. And at the end of the day, you're going to become what I call the smartest person in the market. You're going to watch those prices, that overpriced person, come down maybe into your price range. And if they sit on the market, because not everything sells if it's overpriced. So anyway, have that. Go ahead.
Matt, do you want to go or me?
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were speaking.
Well, there is something that I want to highlight because Tara went through this just like so like nonchalant, like this is my process, but so, so important. Wave your magic wand. You just like, yeah, just ask them, wave their magic wand and tell me this. And like, that is such a key part. Like we talk about putting people in this dream state so they can start to imagine all of the things that they really want. And what a great way to get started with this is to get people into that dream state, because one, it takes them off of the, I'm calling Tara, you know, we're going to start this buyer process. And now you're just like, hey, great, welcome. Here, wave your magic wand. What are you looking for? And then you also mentioned a very important buyer fear that we want to try to calm down with, which is make sure you don't miss anything. And what you just described is essentially talking them through the funnel process. You're like, here's what we're going to do. Okay, that's where we want to look. But we're going to also add all this stuff because of X, Y, and Z. And I just, the smoothness of how you go through that, I think is incredible. And that's what I want people to pull out of this is magic wand, funnel process right there, put together, and it creates a new level of clarity.
Well, I want to add in also that, Tara, you lightly said something that I find is missed a lot, which is you're aware that they are ready to go. If they've taken the time and got over the fear of picking up calling the realtor or reaching out to the realtor, I know a lot of agents, when they're looking at a buyer, they're really trying to figure out, okay, am I working with a real person here right now? Are these guys really willing to buy, or should I put them on a list that I'll call them later down the road? How much time do I want to give them right now? And I think at the very first meeting, you need to be in that mindset of, look, if I can show these people what they want, they're probably wanting to buy right now. Now, do they have all the pieces they need to pull the trigger at the moment? Maybe, maybe not. But in your mind, you have to be willing to accept that these guys are ready to go just for the mere fact that you're talking to them right now.
Yes. And one thing I realized just last week, I can continually forget it. I had a buyer call me on a Friday and she said, well, this was a Friday 10 days ago. And she said, well, we're going to be buying somewhere between now, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. We're not really in a hurry. And I handed out we'll talk about the magic wands again later here in a minute. But we're under contract 6 days later.
Yeah.
On their first offer.
Wow.
And she said she was so tired.
First offer. I love it. I love it. Because there's so many people like, well, you know, some people, they got to do this and that. And it's like, if you have that, your mindset too, Tara, I want to like say that when you're going into your process by recognizing that your mindset sounds so strong and focused on, hey, we're going to go find these people a house. We're going to go get them a house versus a lot of people who go into it with the mindset of like, okay, here's another buyer. Let's go kind of look at some things versus let's go write a contract on something. So can you also speak a little bit about that? I know there we're going to get down the process here, but what do you do to prepare your mindset as you go into working with your clients?
You know, I was just talking about this. I don't know. My mindset is my only goal is to help these people's dream come true. That's it. That's where it ends. And if we walk into a house and we're these people I'm talking was just mentioning, we walk into a house, they're like, well, you know, this is kind of nice and it doesn't have a fenced yard and this kitchen's kind of weird, but it could work. And I'm like, just looking, I'm like, you guys, yeah, if you had to have a house today, you can move in here, but I'm just not seeing the happy dance here. And
I love the happy dance.
I mean, and Larry, I think, talks about the happy dance. And if there's no happy dance, I'm like, yeah, I think we need to keep looking. And they look at me almost relieved. Like, I'm like, and sometimes my favorite line with people is, aren't I a great salesperson?
Well, when you put people into a position where they really want to buy, yes, you are a great salesperson because you didn't have to sell them on anything. You just put all the pieces together and all of a sudden they're buying. And for as far as I'm concerned, that's about as ninja as you can be.
Right. And so they're like practically relieved. I'm like, yeah, this is this house. I don't see it. And I'm like, aren't I a great salesperson? And they just laugh. And then all of a sudden, this trust level just goes out the roof because they're like, oh, she's on our team. She's not trying to sell us anything. She's trying to help our dreams come true.
So let's go down the line. So the phone rings, you talk to them, you have the wave a magic wand conversation with them, you set up a search, you might go run out and look at a house right away, or we might just start to turn them into the smartest buyer out there by giving them enough information so they see what's going on. You had mentioned when we were talking just briefly that you have a lender process that you kind of help them through right around this time. Is this kind of the next step?
It is. When we're talking in the first conversation, you know, I'm listening, I'm taking notes about, you know, what they want. And then I'm like, are you qualified? I don't say are you qualified. I say, have you talked to a lender? And frequently, especially if their answer is no, but sometimes it's yes. I'm like, well, let's go down the yes road. Yes, I'm pre-qualified. I'm like, okay, so you're pre-qualified. Can you tell me more about that? And they're like, yeah, I'm pre-qualified with loansrus.com or whatever. I don't know.
Amazing company.
Found online.
Joe's Loans.
Joe's Loans or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, so who are they? Well, they were online. And I'm like, oh, okay. So did you talk to them? Well, no, I just did online. Okay. Well, then I kind of breathe deep. I'm like, well, your lender is going to be your most valuable player, maybe even more important sometimes than I am in this process. If we don't have a lender that can go to bat for you literally 7 days a week, that's trusted in our local market, I'm not sure I can get you a house and be competitive on your offers. Because what's been happening is these online lenders, they just don't care. They're just an internet. And then, but your local lender is the guy that's going to, or the lady that's going to be there when we need them. And sometimes we're going to write a contract on a Saturday at 5 o'clock and you need a special lender and probably a phone call within 24 hours from a person to that other broker to make that other broker confident that your lender will perform. So because of that, I have, you know, and they buy into that. Oh, okay. And so if they don't buy into it, sometimes I'm like, well, you might have to find another broker if we can't use a local lender. If you can use yours, but it has to be a person.
So you'll go that far. So like when we talk about like, you know, when you're working with a listing, you say like one of three things are going to happen today. Like you're really putting it on the table right now that if the right pieces aren't here to be successful, like I may not be able to move forward with you.
Right. And I had a 45 minute conversation with an older guy that was qualified with his big national bank. And I'm like, dude, I can't win a house for you in this market with that as your lender. We just won't. I mean, I might be able to, but, and then he finally succumbed. And sure enough, 3 days later, we got the deal because of that lender. The other broker knew that lender.
So it's a difference.
It does. So I have a templated email that's in my CRM that literally almost while we're talking, hopefully not while we're talking, but 1 minute after I hang up the phone, they get an email and I tell them they're getting it. Meet one of my favorite lenders, their contact information, a link to their website. And I tell them, go on that website and qualify through their website. They can't talk to you intelligently without your information, pre-qualify. And I copy the lender on that same email. And so the lender knows what's going on. And so they get a hot lead from me and they're all over it. So
now, Terry, you used a term for once they go and talk to that lender that I absolutely love. So what is this?
So when we're talking and they've talked to a lender and say they've talked to an online lender and I'm like, well, what we really need is a really good shopping license. And if you don't have a good shopping license, it doesn't make a lot of sense to even go look at houses because we don't really even know what you can buy. And so your lender will give you a pre-qualification, which I consider your shopping license.
I love that. That is the coolest thing. It's like, here is your license to now go. It's like when you get a gift card or something like that. You're like, ooh, I can go shopping with this. It's like, it makes it fun too. I always used to talk about finding out what your buying power is. This is even better. Here you go. So now, how do your buyers respond to that? I mean, I know we talked about like the process of finding a letter, but when you tell them about their shopping license, do they come back and be like, Tara, I got my shopping license. Let's go.
No, nobody's ever come back.
Darn. Well, somebody should.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's funny. I think it's probably another topic, but there's a whole lot of people out there that don't even believe that they could have a shopping license and they could buy a home and they're sitting in a rental house and they're like, they're too scared to even look. So
that's an interesting thought is that when you give somebody, you talk about it as a shopping license, you're literally opening the door for them to be able to be a buyer.
Right.
Think about the mindset of the clients, right? And this all stems from your mindset, Tara, of your mission is to help them find their, you know, accomplish their dreams, you know, achieve their dreams. And using language like that, I think can open up a buyer or potential buyer's mind about what is possible, which is really important in terms of going down this process. Because if they're not open to that, then when you're going out there and competing, multiple offer situations, they may not be willing to make certain decisions to get the home that they really want because deep down, somewhere in their mindset, they may not feel that it's really possible. But this is why the pre-approval process, getting the shopping license, no matter what anybody out there listening wants to call it, is so, so important before you actually start walking through a lot of homes because that confidence needs to be there. This same thing with what are other things that are holding people back. So Tara, there's a question. If you have people who get their shopping license, and let's say there are, this is actually a specific discussion that was going on in our Facebook group, Garrett, they have a home to sell. There's a contingency that they might need to put on a contract. In this market, how do you talk to your buyers about that? And does it happen at the same time as the shopping license discussion?
It does. And I feel like there's a whole lot of people that don't understand lending well enough to make this happen. So the shopping license is the most powerful if you don't have to sell your house before you buy. Now, some people are just going to have to, but there is a huge percent of people that don't have to sell their house. And they don't understand that. Well, then they kind of freak out like, well, I can't like have two mortgages and I don't want a great big mortgage on the other side and to, and then I don't want to refinance or a bridge loan. They're all scared of bridge loans, but there's a product out there called Recasting Loans, a recasting product. And that's how I get most of my people from A to B without a contingent offer. So the lender, they have to be, you know, pretty deep financially, but not as deep as you think. They have to have about, we'll call it 5% down on the new property. And then when they sell their old property, they take all the equity out of the old property and dump it, recast the new loan down to a new amount with the same terms and the same interest rate. So now what they had was a $500,000 loan, but they have $250,000 in equity in the house they just sold. They dumped that $250,000 onto that $500,000. They have the same low interest rate and they get a new payment and they recast this payment. This is a very common, I'm sure it's available all over the country. It's a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac product and brokers don't know about it. So this really helps the buyer. I probably have 80% of my buyers can recast. They have to be able to qualify for both loans, but a lot of times they can. You know, we never want to buy how high we're qualified. It's a scary amount to be qualified, but it's going to last for 45 to 60 days. And sometimes they don't even make a first payment on that second loan.
That's fascinating. So now, I mean, that's a major takeaway right there for anybody who's like writing that down, recast. So I'm sure everybody's like, wait, I got to pull over and write this down, recasting. And there might be questions. Tara's going to get a bunch of messages through like Facebook and stuff. Be like, hey, I heard you on the podcast. Tell me more about this recasting.
Yeah, we'll leave Tara's phone number at the end of this so you guys can all
call. Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to say if you talk to your lender and they don't know what recasting is, you need to go dial the phone and find a lender that does, because that is a huge secret weapon in this market.
I think it's awesome.
I think it is a secret weapon because there's that what you just explained stops so many people from being able to give buyers a sense of a path that they can be successful in going back to what you said and making their dreams come true. Like you literally show them a path, and the lack of a path is a confused buyer. And that's what you end up with is somebody who's confused about how to get from point A to point B. And if you can give them a path, all of a sudden there's clarity. And Terry, as you've seen a million times, when somebody has clarity, all of a sudden they are moving and moving fast.
Right. And then they can be aggressive on their pricing too, because on this last recast that I did on the buyer that we got the deal, because we had John Polansky at the Group Mortgage, one of the smartest lenders I know. He structured this recasting. And so my buyer came in at a house for 550, was able to go all the way up to 625. This was 100% dream come true for these people. And they could use their extra capital to pay over the appraisal value. And they recasted into the new property.
Wow. Okay. So everybody go do some research on it. Go talk to your lender. Obviously, this is something that we may have to come back and re-talk about. Maybe, Tara, we'll have you on with a lender to talk specifically about how this works and what this can look like, because I'm fascinated by it. So moving, I want to keep down this path here. So you go out, you got your shopping license now, you go look at a house. You'd mentioned the happy dance, which you're looking for this happy dance. But what if you don't see it and you head back, like you're heading back to the car now and kind of going, okay, we need to like figure out exactly what's going to bring that happy dance out. What do you do?
Well, everyone on the podcast is going to think I'm crazy, which they're probably correct. I have ready for them in my car. So this happened 10 days ago with these people I've mentioned earlier. If there's mom, dad, and two kids, I have a like literally a magic wand that's cost a dollar on Amazon. And I put my little sticker on it, dreams come true. And I pull four of those out and I pass them out. And they're like, what are these? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think they are? And they're like, I don't know. What are they? I'm like, well, wave it around. See what happens. And they start waving these wands around and they're like, is this a magic wand? I'm like, it is.
I love this.
Do you want? How do you see this going? What do you want? And the kids start getting involved. They're like waving, they're hitting each other with them, you know, and they're playing sword fights with them. And all of a sudden, just the magic, I'm not kidding you, the magic starts to happen. And they don't say anything frequently. They're like, huh. And it all just sort of go, it's an internal mindset that starts to shift, especially when the whole family's on board. And I had a whole family, another family that I handed them all out, and they like literally were playing sword fights. And I said, how do you want this to go? And the dad looked at me about 5 minutes later after everyone's playing with these magic wands. He goes, you know, I thought these were kind of stupid, but I like them. I have handed these to grumpy old CPAs. Now that takes a lot of guts, I'm going to tell you. I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen now. And he waved that thing around and goes, does this work on other stuff?
No, so Tara, what I'm fascinated by it also is that it's an incredible anchor, because whether they unload on you right there in the car about this is everything that we want, oh my gosh, this magic wand has opened up doors for us, that might happen. But also if they leave your environment and they go home, these magic wands get set on the kitchen counter. They get set around the house. And while they're starting this process and going down, every single time, at least for me, every time I would see the magic wand, it would make me stop and go, what do I really want? Like, what would be the perfect scenario? And I'm just assuming you probably get people later in that evening or the next day that call you and say, hey, you know what? We've actually been talking and this is what we really want.
Well, and I find it very interesting when you hand those magic wands out. Sometimes the game completely changes and they buy something 100, like it feels to me like as a realtor, 100% different than what they told me. And we're going and looking at these, this is a couple months ago, going out looking at these $700,000 houses and it was like, blah, 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 no happy dance. And then they call me up and they go, well, we want to see this other house. We're not buying this. It just, we kind of just want to see it. And then the spouse is like, no, we're not looking at that. I'm like, what? We don't care. Let's go look at it. And they bought $1.2 million house.
There you go.
Like the magic wand's working. So,
well, one thing that I think that has always struck me, and I've always been fascinated by this part of your process, and you'd mentioned it earlier as you turn a weakness into a strength. But you mentioned the other day that I set my buyers up so that they are the ones who are going to go find their house. It's not me finding a house for them. And can you go deeper into kind of what your process is around that and how you approach that?
Yeah. So I put them on a search. They're looking at the search. And I've realized since we've been going to do this podcast, I'm like, you know, I don't look at houses online. And I don't think I've one or two times actually been the one that found the house. And the buyer finds the house and they're like, let's go look at it. And sometimes we get there and maybe embarrassing, maybe amazing, but we get there and probably 90% of the time, maybe more, the most I know about that house is the address. And so sometimes the other broker, I'll talk about that in a minute, but we'll be walking through the house and they're like, how much is this? I'm like, I don't know. And I pull it up on my phone. Oh, hey, you know, and how many square feet? I'm like, let me look. And so sometimes I'll have that conversation if I can feel the vibe, like, what, do you know anything? And I'm like, here's the deal. You are going to always know more about the house that we're looking at than I do. This is your potential home. You're going to know as a buyer. I feel like the buyers are the smartest people in the entire market. Realtors think they're all smart and everything. It's not their money that's buying the house.
This is exactly the opposite of how most realtors approach going to a house. They're like, I've got to know all the information. I need to be highly educated on it. Got to have all the pieces here so that when they ask me a question like, how much is this home worth? Like the way your approach to that right there, I think back to when I was selling real estate, and if somebody said, how much is this house? And I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I would look at that as like a, come on, Garrett, get your stuff together. Like, what are you doing? And you literally turn it into actually an amazing positive, which is that I don't know. And this is why I don't know. And this is, it is brilliant how you approach that with your clients.
Yeah, it's, you know, you do feel kind of dumb. It's like, well, the truth is I can't know it, you know, and I don't know everything, but my job is to get the house that you want. That's my job. Is once we find it, my job is to help you get it.
Tara, this goes to your mindset and your approach too, and where you're trying to help dreams come true. Whereas a lot of realtors, they get stuck in a situation. They're like, oh, I should know this. And then they beat themselves up about it, or they might try to answer it versus being fully comfortable saying, I don't know. And Garrett, we actually talked about this on a prior podcast about knowing your product and all of this stuff, where really the most important thing is being able to ask the questions of the clients to understand what they want, and then matching it up with what you can go find. Because like Tara, you can just pull up the house on your phone. So you have all the stats. Why do you need to memorize all the stats about the house when you have it right there? Most importantly, it's asking the questions to make sure the home matches what the buyer's wants, needs, and desires are, right?
Right. Now, on a little bit of a flip side, on the way to the house, I call the other broker. And I don't know anything about this house. Like I said, all I know is the address, but I know the other broker and I call her up. I called one last night and I said, so Michelle, other broker, how are things going? Like, compliment her on the listing. So if I waved a magic wand for your sellers, how might this go? And then she tells me, you know, they're already out of their house. It would go quick, blah, blah, blah. She kind of tells me the motivations, a little bit of the seller. And so I'm starting what I call the dance with the other broker, because that's one of the most important dances of the whole deal in a competitive market. So I start the dance before I ever get to the house I know nothing about, but I want to get that relationship started. Half the time I throw that away. I don't use it. Or more than half the time, but I want that before I get there. And that also helps me know what the buyer actually wants to know in this market. Is it already under contract? Is this a competitive bidding situation? What's the deal with the seller? How can we make this happen?
Well, gathering that information while heading to the showing, I mean, that's the most powerful information you can have instead of the bedrooms and bathrooms and things like that. If they're sitting there in that house and you're watching the happy dance start, which I love, you're watching the happy dance start, different than the pee-pee dance. if anybody's concerned, if you've ever seen it, you'll know it when you see it. They're two very different dances.
If you're staying hydrated out there, which you all should, you know what that dance looks like.
But when you know that you're watching that dance happen, Tara, now is where you really bring the value of a professional real estate agent, where you can say, if you want this house, this is what I do know. I don't care about the fourth bedroom downstairs. That's not what's important here. What I do know is, how are we going to get you this house? Which is and I think I'm saying it right, and you can correct me, but that mindset of like, I'm here now to help you get this home that you're now noticing is the right house. It's making you dance around this place. That is powerful.
And if I haven't, or maybe even if I have talked to that other broker on the way to the house, I guess it's probably more frequently if perhaps I haven't, I will call that other broker right there in the house with the buyers listening in. Oh. And I'm like, you know, the other day I was like, well, that was bold. I'm like, so because the house wasn't under contract yet. It was 6 days, you know, I'm like, so is there wiggle room on the price? And that was a big no. But that the buyer heard me start to negotiate right there in front of him.
That's awesome. What a win.
It shows that you're out there for them. I mean, yeah, that's awesome. And Tara, all this stuff, and I know there's still more to this process that goes on as you get a deal and go under contract, but you have a process, like written down process for all this stuff, right? To make sure that all these steps are taken care of?
Well, I thought I did. I have all of my written process after this happens. So now I'm kind of scared. I'm like, because last night I didn't hand out my magic wands. I'm like, whoops. So I need my own little checklist. I have an assistant. She's responsible for her checklist, but there's some things that we could forget in this that's super valuable. Like, because one of the next things I do, which is highly powerful, is when I do feedback, I consider like the online feedback of the house. This is my opportunity. I have one chance to talk to the seller about the buyer. So when I know this buyer might want this house. I pour the feedback on thick. I learned it from a great friend, Chris Howe, and he did this with one of my listings, and my listing, my sellers were like, oh, we want that buyer. And I'm like, geez, how do you do? So I started emulating what Chris did. And first of all, it's like, thank you so much for the opportunity to show your beautiful home. You know, I always say whatever's true, but your pride of ownership is notable or commendable. Your pride of ownership shows brightly. The buyers, and I go into a little story about the buyers and why this home would be a magical fit for them. And thank you again. Your home is lovely. We hope to see you at the closing table on the feedback form.
I like that, because we all know that the listing agents are just going to copy paste or send directly to the seller a lot of those feedback forms.
Yeah. I don't think there's very many agents that don't automatically send the feedback to their sellers. Because then otherwise there's probably a few, but if there are, whatever, I've never run into that.
So everything, every step of the way here for you is not just a step in the process for your clients to provide clarity, but every step of the way is also you doing that dance, negotiating with the other side from the time you set the appointment to feedback and everything.
Yes. And like when one time not too long ago, that feedback was so powerful and so emotional that literally the sellers fell in love with the hope that these buyers would buy the house. And guess what? We weren't the best offer. And so because I started the dance before we got to the house, and then after, and then the feedback, the other broker calls me and says, well, Tara, I'm like, we're not good enough, are we? She goes, I'm like, okay, I'll be back with you. And so we sweetened up our deal and we got the house.
It's amazing.
When you open up that level of communication with the actual broker, it's amazing. Like this goes back, Tara, to what we've been watching for the entire last year and a half and longer than that. But the number one thing that I watch that wins homes for clients is realtor-to-realtor relationships. And it is so overlooked. The amount of brokers that still just never ever talk to the broker or selling broker, and they just send over the offer through the through email and be like, oh, okay, we're going to get a response. Let's see where we stand. And they're looking at it just from the numbers that are on the contract, or the negotiation pieces on the contract. And the reality is that there's this other negotiation piece here that is so powerful, which is that relationship that you're building with not only the broker, but the clients on the other side, which is where I think a lot of people never even get a chance to open up that world.
Yeah.
Well, so Tara, I got some questions too about because a lot of people will say, or I'm sure people listening are thinking, man, this is amazing, but doesn't that take time? And my thought process is it probably does take time. But if now you're getting the majority or all of your buyers, you know, to contract and closing on their first or second home that they look at, or the first home that they want to write for, then you're saving tons of time on the back end. So do you keep track of like, and even if it's just kind of empirical, like, oh, this is what I think it is, like out of the number of buyers you work with, how many of them are you able to get through this clarity of process, you know, shortened up timelines and whatnot, you know, versus ones that are just like, well, we'll just continue to think about it and then just kind of stay on your hot list forever. And you're like, what am I doing with these people?
Well, my hot list probably has somewhere between 2 days and 5 years to close, right? Mm-hmm. And I am very, we're all lazy at the end of the day. And so my hot list just gets listings from me. And when they raise their hand and they want to go look at something, they're not doing that because they're goofing off and want to drag everyone around. Typically, I've never really been drug around. When I started this business, I said to the managing broker, I don't want to deal with buyers. How do you get sellers? That's all I want to deal with. I just want to deal with sellers. And as my business has matured and I'm into my seventh year, I'm like, I pour so much time and so much money and so much effort into my sellers and my buyers, I don't have 3 hours tied up in a buyer.
There it is. That is the time saving right there. Like, that, and it doesn't matter whether it's 2 days or 5 years on your hot list, because your process is so clear. The people who aren't ready to go aren't dragging you around, or you're not allowing that to happen because they don't have their shopping license to go and look at, like what I experienced when I was a young realtor, showing 65 homes all over the state of New Jersey. And then be like, man, this is what it's like working with buyers. This is horrible. If I could narrow that down to only 3 hours, it would be incredible.
Yeah, it's a blast, actually. I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I should just do buyers, which I would never do. But Larry teaches it in the class. The buyer that drags you around to more than five houses, they don't know what they want. They don't know what they want. I did have one this year. An older couple, oh my Lord, I found their house three times and they always bailed out. And we looked forever for these houses. And it turns out they were 80 and they decided, they're like, you know what? We don't want to move. I'm like, I know. And then she's like, are we still friends? I'm like, of course we're friends. I love you guys. And I don't think you should move either. Why don't you just? She goes, but we feel so bad. I'm like, you know what? You'll tell all your friends how hard I work. You'll tell all your friends, and we're friends forever.
That's what's overlooked by so many. It's like, no, success is getting the sale. And it's like, no, success is taking care of the client.
Right, right. I mean, I feel like that's maybe only happened one time in my career but I'm like, you know, they don't really want to move.
But this is amazing, because so many, I mean, Garrett, how many times during the week or do we hear and get messages from people who are just like, oh, these buyers are just killing me and dragging me down, where like it's like an everyday thing for them about buyers who are just pulling them around, they're confused, they don't know what to do. And it's because they don't have Tara's magic wand in their hand, is basically what I'm concluding out of this.
Well, and I want to go back too, because I know we have a lot of ninjas. I mean, hence the Ninja Selling Podcast. We have a lot of ninjas that are listening to this and going, but what about the 10-step buyer's process? You know, this is what we were taught in the installation. We study the 10-step buyer's process. We try to follow it 100%. Tara, you made the comment that it happens. It just a lot of times happens in the house.
Yeah. I bet you there's not one single step that I miss outside of drawing the funnel on a piece of paper. So I'll have the funnel conversation, and I probably don't use the word funnel anymore, but I'll say, you know, it's not, you are probably going to be the one that finds your house. And these are all of the ways, you know, I'm sending you a search from my end, right? Yeah, they're like, yeah. And then I'm like, and you're on Zillow, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm on Zillow. And I said, and you're on realtor.com. Yeah, I'm on realtor.com. So they're looking everywhere. What I send, and I say, what I send you is only part of what can happen. The people that bought that $1 million house, 1.1, I think it was, I only had a search up to 800,000 because that's what they told me they wanted to spend. And then they went out and bought 1.1. So I encouraged them. I'm like, we're going to have, and I said, you might even run into a for sale by owner.
I was just going to say the same thing. What you're doing is you open them up so that it's not you finding the house. You take that completely off the table. And when they're out bouncing around the countryside, they might, and we talk about for sale by owner, like it has a for sale by owner sign in the front yard. But that's no different than them saying, I got to introduce you to my friends. They've been talking about selling their house. Let me get you guys connected. It's not listed yet. And all of a sudden they're calling you going, we found the house, Tara.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, let's go get it. Let's go get it.
I love it. And I will say, I've heard all the steps here. I heard the funnel process early on. I mean, when you're explaining it, and I'm sure you mix in, you know, agency disclosure and all that stuff in there. One question I do have when we talk about the 10-step buyer process is, so scale of 1 to 10 in pieces of paper. Where in the process of kind of you're out there doing it, do those things come up? I'm guessing the pieces of paper is essentially the magic wand, which that would make sense to me. Scale of 1 to 10, though, is that upfront during your initial conversation when you're talking about having a license to shop?
You mean the piece of paper where they write their top 10 down and give me one.
That one too, yeah.
That piece of paper. That's the conversation in the house. And then if it's starting to feel like they're not clear, I'll just say to them, right, you know, with Tony and Eric last night, I'm like, Tony, you know your top 10 non-negotiables? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Eric, you know yours? Oh, yeah. Okay, Tony, what's your number one non-negotiable thing you want in a house? Oh, no, Eric, don't be quiet. This is Tony's answer. Get one, you get the next one. And so she tells me, I'm like, okay, now it's Eric's turn. Eric, what's your non-negotiable? Well, that same one or a different one. It's got to be the garage or it's got to be a yard. Okay, I'm like, and so literally I'm only after about three. And then I always have the conversation, the Larry Kendall's 85% conversation in the house. When I start feeling him go, wah, 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 I'm like, you know, we're looking for 85%, you guys. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, I have this friend. She has this house. If I listed it today, it'd probably be $2 million. She was the contractor for a lot she purchased. She looks through the keyhole at Long's Peak and she built it and it's beautiful. And when she toured me around, she said, well, if I had to do it different, I might have done this. She goes, well, and there was this. And then, I love this. But if I had to do it different, I said, she's got the most magnificent house in the region and she's at about 85%. Well, that's what we're looking for, 85%.
It's a great example. I've used new construction many times where somebody got to pick every aspect of their new build. And every time they walk through it, they will give you examples of like, I wish we would have made the island a little bit bigger. I wish we would have changed every single time. So you're 100% correct.
But I don't use that every time. It's a conversation in the house. When they're not finding the perfect house, I'm like, well, actually, there's no such thing.
I love it. I mean, that's step 10, right? And that's kind of the step that so many people miss out on. They never have those types of conversations. They don't have a story ready to go. And it doesn't even have to be your own story. I mean, even at that conversation, you can, everybody listening right now can now take Tara's story about her client building your house and use that as your 85% conversation and having these things just ready to go. And Tara, it just sounds like you've done this a lot. So it just comes naturally to you. I mean, I could picture myself being, if I'm buying a house in Fort Collins and I could see myself working with Tara and just like the language coming out and just being like, ooh, clarity everywhere. So do you, this is kind of a question I have, do you practice this? I mean, or did you practice this early on when you were getting, you know, this process going, or did you kind of figure it out as you went?
No, I am a big believer in experts. Professionals need expert teaching, like you guys, the coaches. So you need an excellent coach that can, like, you know, what professional do you know that doesn't have a good coach of any type of professional? And then I've been to the Ninja installation 6 or 7 times. I would try and verbatim record myself with the processes, the selling process, the buying process. And then finally I realized I can't remember it. So I'm like, forget it, pull the piece of paper out. And I'll tell people right in front of them, I'm like, you know, I have a process and this is an important deal. And so I'll go through like the one I still use the paper on is the pre-listing interview. But for the buyer, I don't pull the paper out anymore. I don't know really why, but it's not.
You've done it enough.
I studied it. It's in me. I've got my 10,000 hours in.
Well, and I think one thing that we talked about earlier about this whole process is that, and we were saying like, you don't really skip any steps when it comes to the 10-step buyer's process. It was clear to me when we were getting ready this morning that, you know, Tara, you are such a party personality. And what you've done is you've made this experience fun, which keeps it entertaining for you as well as the clients that you typically resonate with the most. You attract party personality people, I'm assuming. That usually we do. We kind of resonate together. So I think that, and it's an important part for anybody who's listening out there, because I know that some people are like, but it's, you know, it's supposed to be a sit-down meeting. We're supposed to get through all this stuff. And what you've made sure is, no, everything's going to get covered, but I'm going to do this in a way that it works for me, my business, my personality, which you've owned. And I think that's what's made this so successful for you. And I want to encourage everybody out there, you know, this is Tara's way. And my name for Tara is Supersize Me Tara. because every single time I give Tara anything to do, she takes it and she supersizes it and takes it to a whole nother level. Sometimes too far. Sometimes, Tara, you'll come back and you're like, yeah, don't let me do that again. but this is one that I think you've taken just to the right level right now, and it works so well. And it makes sense that it works. Just sitting here talking to you for the past, 50 minutes here, I mean, it all makes sense. So thank you.
It's very, very fun too. That's for sure.
And that's the whole point of this, right? I tell a lot of people, like, if you can make this business fun, it's going to go so much easier for you. I think, and brings in the authenticity. I just had Deborah Davenport from The Go-Giver pop into my mind of like, when you just let it go and just be yourself and have fun, all of a sudden homes are going under contract. And that's what you've done here. Only you've taken it to like an 11 with, I'm going to put this fun process together. I'm going to practice and perfect it. And then I'm going to tune it as I see the results come in from my clients. And here you are with incredible results with your buyers, incredible results with your time. And I think it's awesome. So many great takeaways for everybody. So thank you, Tara, for sharing all of that with us.
Oh, you bet. That was very fun. It made me really think about, what am I doing?
Well, I think that, well, that's a true testament to kind of just how natural it's become for you. I think that a lot of times, like, it's like telling somebody, can you explain someone how to tie your shoe? Well, I've just done it for so long. I don't know. Here, like, give me a shoe. I'll show you how to do it. But I can't tell you how to do it a lot of times. So I think that that's kind of where you're at with your systems. And that's what makes it so awesome.
Well, and I think that for me, when we started, I said, I am a ninja 1000%. I was kind of scared. I'm like, am I doing the buyer process right? Because that's really important to me, that I follow the leader of success. And Ninja is the most successful life of a realtor could ever ask for, and being able to serve the world in our expertise as realtors. And then I realized I am doing all of it.
I love it. Well, Matt, do you have any other questions? I know that Matt, for any of you that can't see what's going on in the background right now, Matt has a daughter in preschool who has brought home some great thing for Matt in the form of a virus.
It's fantastic. It's like every other week now. It's and I'm the person that never gets sick.
I keep watching his mic mute, and I'm like, all right, do I need to take over? Do you have any last questions?
No, I'm great. I'm great. I feel good. My voice may not sound the best, but that was awesome. I appreciate you sharing that, Tara, and everything. I mean, there's more things that we can go down, I'm sure, but I'm really curious now to hear also the feedback from everybody listening, which I'm sure is going to be exceptional. And we'll probably be reading it all about it in our Facebook community. And I'll also say, if anybody's not in there yet, facebook.com/groups/the Ninja Selling Podcast, the fastest growing community in the world. Entire world, on any platform, on anything, anywhere. Hands down, that is my personal opinion, by the way, not scientific fact.
So, Tara, you gave a really nice plug for coaching and just training and all that. And I want to say that if anybody wants to, learn a little bit more about what Tara is involved in with us, or learn about Ninja Coaching, please come to ninjacoaching.com. We'd love to talk to you, help you kind of down the path. And Tara, again, I appreciate you sharing that.
And that wasn't planned either. That was not planned.
Oh, no.
So appreciate you, Tara, for sharing that.
Yeah, I believe wholeheartedly, if you're going to be a successful at whatever you want to be successful at, you need a coach. And I tell people, go find the very best coach you can find. And I didn't say the very best coach you can afford. I said the very best coach you can find. And so I feel like you guys are everything. I would not have the success I do today without my coach, Garrett Fry.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you're pretty bright, Tara. I think you, when I say bright, like a big bright shining star, like you're pretty awesome. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Tara. And thank you everybody for tuning in. We look forward to speaking with you on the next episode. Thank you so much for everybody for listening to us. And thank you again, Tara. Thank you, Garrett. And we'll see you guys later.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.